Well, next on the Old Mover Radio Hour, Bill Resnick is going to continue the conversation he began last week with Eric Holt Jimenez about agroecology, what it is and why it's important. Here's Bill.
Eric Holt Jimenez, welcome to KBOO.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill. It's great to be back.
Eric Holt Jimenez directs Food First, the Institute for Food and Development Policy, headquartered in Oakland. He has taught food justice, food sovereignty, and agroecology all over the world in universities, graduate programs, and in sessions for small and family-sized farmers and even urban gardeners. For over 20 years, he worked as an agroecologist with the farmers movements in Central America and Mexico. He still writes and organizes. His latest book is A Foodie's Guide to Capitalism, Understanding the Political Economy of What You Eat. I interviewed Eric last month. We discussed the disastrous impacts of capitalist agriculture. First, Eric, give us a summary of why capitalist industrial agriculture must be replaced by agroecological processes.
Thank you, Bill. Industrial capitalist agriculture needs to be replaced as soon as possible and as thoroughly as possible. Because, for one thing, it's one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. Well over 30% of our greenhouse gases are the result of industrial agriculture. It also is part of the food system which wastes 40% of the food which is being produced. Now, that's just a byproduct of capitalist agriculture. Capitalism overproduces everything from smartphones to food. And so it should be of no surprise that we're also wasting all this food. In the United States, something like $165 billion worth of resources are wasted thanks to capitalist agriculture. The other thing is that capitalist agriculture is very expensive. We don't notice it because of the subsidies and because the inputs appear to be cheap. But in fact, capitalist agriculture is too expensive for most of the farmers in the world. And so when they enter into these relations of capitalist agriculture, they go broke. The other thing is it's expensive in terms of resources. It uses up over 70% of our fresh water, and in the U.S., over 50% of our land. So actually, it's a very expensive proposition. It's unsustainable, and it's highly inequitable because of the fact that to succeed in capitalist agriculture, you have to become a very, very big, highly capitalized farmer. And so that means that all of the other farmers in the world are disadvantaged by capitalist agriculture, eventually either go out of business or live very poorly. And it means that most of the world's hungry, talking about 70% of the world's hungry, are farmers. These are the farmers who produce most of the world's food on just 25% of the world's land. They're poor farmers, and capitalist agriculture drives them to bankruptcy. And then they go hungry.
And they go hungry because they, in fact, have to buy food themselves. Many of them produce food, but sometimes their plots are too small. In a monetarized agriculture, that is, a food system, where you have to have money to buy a lot of staples, they just don't have money. So people do starve. There's this vast glut of food, and yet estimates are far higher than the official figures. The number of people who are food insecure and very hungry for much of the year.
That's absolutely right, Bill. And it's a travesty that farmers who produce most of the world's food, and most of whom are women, by the way, can't afford to feed themselves after they sell off their crops. And because they're poor, they sell them off right away when the price is low to harvest. And then, 6 months later, they're in the market trying to buy food. So I think that capitalist agriculture really has destroyed agroecosystems around the world, something like 90% of the agrobiodiversity of the world has been destroyed since the advent of the Green Revolution in the 1960s, which was a campaign to spread capitalist agriculture from the U.S. to the rest of the world. And now we're looking at all of the externalities, including one we just can't buy our way out of, which is climate change. So it's time to change.
Yeah, it's a matter of life and death for the planet now to change all production systems, but particularly agriculture, and of course energy. We have to stop burning fossil fuels and using them. There's an answer. It's agroecology. You've been campaigning for it now for 40 years. Tell us about agroecology.
Well, I first learned about agroecology when I moved to Latin America and began working with peasant farmers. I come from a farming background myself, and was a farm worker on the north coast of California for many years, and also in Oregon, as a matter of fact. But when I went to Latin America, I saw two kinds of farmers, or the same kind of farmer doing two different things. some of the farmers were using Green Revolution technologies. These were called the advanced and the modern farmers, using fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, and the new hybrid seeds. And I watched them go broke and have to leave the farm and work in the cities. And then the other farmers were going back to more traditional practices, but with new techniques as well. And I learned that these were agroecological techniques. In other words, agroecology uses the natural functions and ecological cycles on the farm system itself to produce a surplus, to maintain fertility, to manage pests. And it turns out it's very diversified. It's not the type of one-crop monocultures which we see in industrial agriculture, but it's full of what we call polycultures, crops associated with each other, grown at the same time in association, that really provides a tremendous amount of ecological resilience and actually economic resilience to the farm system. Because instead of crops coming off all at once, they come off a little bit through the course of the year, little by little, different kinds of crops. And so it helps to spread out the income of the farmers and also controls weeds, controls pests, and reduces costs enormously, because farmers don't have to buy these chemical inputs. And that's why it's absolutely hated by conventional agriculture, because in fact, what conventional agriculture really is about selling more fertilizers, selling more hybrid or GMO seeds, selling bigger tractors, selling information systems, and this type of thing. And when farmers figure these things out on their own, the industry gets very upset.
This is KBIR Radio, Portland, Oregon, the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Bill Resnick here, talking to Eric Holt-Jimenez about agroecology. Agroecology will, if we want to preserve and restore life-giving ecosystems, it will have to replace capitalist industrialist agriculture. One final thing about agroecology, it preserves the soil. We're mining the soil. Industrial agriculture is destroying the soil that's been built over thousands of years. They pour chemicals in now and more fertilizers just to try and keep crops going. But they're destroying all of the microorganisms and the rest of it in the soil, and then it blows away. There are lots of areas now in the United States that are no longer, that used to be part of the breadbasket, that are no longer fertile at all. A barren rock in Washington State, in fact, some.
Well, precisely. What happened when I worked with farmers, both in the United States and in Latin America, was that, you know, farmers had sort of been run over by the Green Revolution, which destroyed their soils and their pocketbooks. So actually, agroecology was used to rebuild their farming systems and to rebuild the soil. And the good thing about agroecology is that it actually captures carbon, whereas industrial agriculture, of course, releases carbon and methane and nitrous oxide and all these greenhouse gases. Agroecology does exactly the opposite. It captures. So agroecology can actually cool the planet. The unsubstantiated critique or criticism from the industry about agroecology is that it doesn't produce enough, that we have to double production by 2050 in order to keep up with a growing population, and we just can't do it with agroecology. We need industrial agriculture. And that claim is false on a number of very important counts. First of all, we already produce enough food for the 10 billion people that we are expected to have by 2050. We produce 1.5 times more than enough food for every man, woman, and child on the planet. People are not going hungry because of a lack of food. They're going hungry because of overproduction of industrial agriculture. So let's dispense with that fiction. Secondly, on a pound per acre or bushel per acre or kilo per hectare basis, agroecology greatly overproduces the monocultures of industrial agriculture, and this has been proven time and time again. The difference is that because agroecology uses crop mixes, polycultures, of course, an acre of wheat grown in an agroecological system with 4 or 5 different cultivars isn't going to produce as much wheat as an acre dedicated only to wheat. But if you look at the total net primary productivity coming out of an agroecological farm, it's always higher than an industrial farm. And the other thing is it provides more work, provides more opportunity for employment. And the problem in agriculture in the countryside in general, around the world, and including the United States, is that there aren't enough jobs. There aren't enough sources of income because of the spread of industrial agriculture, which displaces farming families. Even in the United States, we're losing the middle. The middle-sized family farm is becoming extinct, and we have very, very small farms now which are not viable economically, and we have very, very big farms which are sort of too big to fail and so need to be subsidized and propped up at taxpayers' expense and at the expense of the environment. So, in fact, we certainly can feed the world perfectly well. There are a number of studies which show this, using agroecological practices. Not only that, we can provide an income and a livelihood for many, many more people around the world. And this is a very important point, Bill, because if we were to go down the industrial road, what would happen? You would drive all of the people out of the countryside. You'd have a few farm workers who would receive very poor wages. That's the legacy of industrial agriculture. And we're talking about a third of humanity. I mean, if you drive a third of humanity out of the countryside, say 2 billion people, where are they going to go? To the cities? Look at the problems we already have with our refugee crises and immigration crises. There's no new industrial revolution capable of sopping up all this labor. Our economy would have to grow at about 15% a year over the next half century. That's impossible. We're not even growing at 2%.
If we continue growing, we're continuing to produce greenhouse gases, and we extinguish ourselves if we're going to grow in that manner.
Precisely, and then we cause all of these social and economic problems and misery for most of the people in the countryside. So really what we have to do is we have to reinvest in the countryside. We have to put people back on the land, not drive them off. And agroecology is the way to do that.
One final thing, Eric Holt-Jimenez. Really, there are movements across the planet that are opposing, strongly resisting industrial agriculture. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, this all sounds very dire, but the good news is that, one, agroecology works, and two, farmers are implementing it around the world, hundreds of thousands of farmers, and three, in fact, agroecology is not just the science of sustainable agriculture, it's not just the practice of sustainable agriculture, but it's a worldwide movement for sustainable agriculture. So the agroecology movement is very strong, it's growing because of the failures of industrial agriculture. We have some very prominent social movements like La Via Campesina, which is a social movement with 200 million farmers in it around the world who promote agroecology. I also belong to SOCLA, which is the Latin American Scientific Society for Agroecology. We just had a meeting in our last meeting in Brazil. There were over 5,000 people at the meeting, scientists and practitioners. And in the United States, we have agroecology offered at a number of different universities, like the University of Vermont, University of California, Santa Cruz, University of Michigan. So we're getting people trained, we're establishing relationships between farmers and researchers, and developing agroecology for the new challenges of this world.
Food First is one place to get information as well as to join and become a member and get active in your community around food issues and bring all of the foodies together around a different food system. Eric, you distribute the book Fertile Ground, Scaling Agriculture from the Ground Up. We're offering that as a premium for becoming a member of KBOO or renewing. Tell us about the book Fertile Ground that people can get in the mail from us if they renew or become a new member.
Well, first, Bill, I want to thank KBOO for highlighting the book Fertile Ground as a premium in your membership drive. That's quite an honor for us. Fertile Ground is a collection of experiences from around the world in which farmers are not only advancing the techniques and developing the techniques of agroecology and sharing the knowledge of agroecology and the principles of agroecology amongst themselves, spreading it out horizontally, but in fact, they're also scaling up agroecology vertically. In other words, they're organizing and they're pressuring their political systems from the village all the way to the national governments to actually put in place structures that favor agroecology instead of industrial agriculture. So the difference of incentives in terms of markets and inputs and land and distribution and whatnot are being favored by governments around the world for agroecology because they recognize the importance of this movement. And I think that also needs to happen more in this country. And I really invite people to read the book and see the different ways that this is happening around the world.
Eric Holt-Jimenez, thanks so much, Director of Food First, Institute for Food and Development Policy in Oakland. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Bill, and please direct your listeners to www.foodfirst.org.
So long, and stay productive.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you, Bill and Eric. That's the kind of critical analysis of capitalist agriculture and alternatives to it that you will not hear anywhere else on the air. You have to tune to KBOO to hear that and so much more.
Tear those mountains down.